I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen of the podcast listeners, I'm delighted today to bring to you an expert in an area that's really been bugging an awful lot of people in the Facebook group. By the way, if you're not in the Facebook group, guys, just remember, go along, join there. You'll get huge amounts more value than just from the podcast alone. The two go together hand in glove. www.amazingfba.com/FBF, as in face, B as in book, unsurprisingly. So today's expert is on the topic of pay-per-click and Amazon ads. I recently surveyed everyone in the Facebook group and asked what their biggest pain points were, what the areas they really wanted help in were, and overwhelmingly pay-per-click and Amazon ads came up well above everything else. So I'm delighted that I had, fortunately, just before asking everyone that, I'd come across he's hopefully becoming a good friend now. Fantastic, easygoing guy, but with great drive and ambition as well. He's doing really well in Amazon and has a really deep background in pay-per-click, and that man is Danny McMillan. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Danny. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. How are you doing?
Good, yeah. How are you doing, Danny?
Yeah, good. Just working hard, just got a lot of stuff to prepare. As people with Amazon businesses know, there's lots of stuff to juggle.
Yeah.
And there's only so many hours in the day. But
Tell me about it. Yeah. That was one of my recent podcasts. I don't know if you caught that, but it was just like how to survive when you've got so little time, just keeping the business ticking. But absolutely, yeah. It's all about
I have a little antidote for that.
So yeah.
Basically, I have a stream of lists. And the phone's ringing off the hook, emails are coming in, Facebook messages.
Yeah.
And I just look around and I go, 80-20.
Yeah.
Every time. Then that way is like, am I going to do that task because it's interesting and because that's more fun, or am I going to do it because it gets me the fastest results? So basically everything I look at, apart from obviously family life, I look at everything through a lens of 80-20.
Yeah, well, I'm totally with you on that. I mean, I recently did a podcast where I talked about 80-20, and I think it goes really, really deep if you get into 80-20, and I completely with you on that. So Danny, tell us a little bit about yourself, because obviously I know a certain amount about you. I'm more interested to learn more, but my listeners don't have that privilege yet. So you know, how did you get into Amazon? Where did you come from before that?
Okay, so what I'll do, let me give you a bit of a backstory first on Amazon, as I'm quite new to Amazon per se, but obviously I've got a deeper background being online. So my little Amazon story, if you like, is last year, who was around March, around this time, I think it was 28th of March, for some reason I remember the date. But I was looking around to doing other projects, so I was looking into marketplaces, because I'll go back into my prior history, but I was looking at marketplaces, and originally I was looking at eBay. And I was thinking, I've never sat down and reverse engineered eBay. It's been around for years. Let me take a little look at it. So I'd done some books and packaged a few bits and pieces up. And I walked to the end of my road where the post office was supposed to be. And so apparently my wife told me that the post office had shut down 2 years previous. Yes. And so as a person doesn't drive, it doesn't fit my 80-20 rule. And so obviously the lesson learned from that is I should have actually done a bit more research on the post office. But, you know, when you it's just down the end of the road. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to get on the bus to mess around sending off books and stuff like that. So that kind of put the kibosh on that. But what was interesting was I went back to the forums, you know, as you're doing a bit of deeper research. And then I started to hear about Amazon FBA. So obviously knew Amazon as a marketplace and stuff, but and you know that people sell books and pieces like that on there, and you order off Amazon all the time. But it wasn't until I started to look under the hood and thinking, Jesus, I mean, how come I hadn't heard about this before? And so that really got me excited, because it had everything that I wanted to have within the business, and the beauty of it is the scalability. So if I'm just going to depart from that part of the story. So my background originally, going back to when I was young, is I was in the music industry. I started 16, 17. I used to have a radio show on Kiss. I've travelled the world. I was lucky to put out records, run my own label. So I was very, very lucky and privileged to do and live my life that way for a number of years.
Yeah, you did well to actually make a good living in the music business, because as you know, I mean, that's one of the things that I didn't know you'd had a radio show on Kiss. That's very impressive. But as you know, I'm also in the less commercial side of it, in you know, the classical side. And yeah, making any kind of living in music is a pig. It's really hard.
I mean, it's definitely, especially now, I mean, my peak of like my career being on Kiss, on, you know, in magazines and stuff like that, was back in late 90s, early 2000s. And obviously, once LimeWire and everything kicked in the States, that's where it all cliffed. And so I was selling vinyl and running a label and making money. And you had the less than barrier to entry. The internet hadn't really kicked in. And so by come 2008, I retired from doing music full time because I got an investment for starting a tech startup, but with a music slant. So we run that for a couple of years. It was heavy, heavy struggle, but it was a baptism of fire. And basically we got to learn on the job, and the learnings that, you know, the level of learning I had to take on at that time was crazy, basically, because, you know, we took in an $500,000 investment over the process. We had a number of staff, had a great team, but we couldn't really make it work as well as we wanted to. And so unfortunately we had to shut that down in 2010. So I was lucky to have a music career that I loved and really enjoyed. And then I got a second chance by moving into an area that interests me, which my interest grew. And that was obviously in the technological side. And that's where I picked up all my PPC skills and my conversion optimization and things like that, because you're constantly working with data to make like informed decisions, if you like. And so I went on to run, I was on the management team, went in as the head of digital to a ticketing company that raised some money, and they had an exit. Not, I wasn't part of the exit, but they raised money as I went in. And one of the key reasons behind closing the funding was because increasing sales and what I managed to help achieve, putting a little bit of layer on top in terms of doing the PPC to increase that side of the business, to obviously give a little bit more investor confidence, if you like. So I'm not taking like full credit. I was part of a team. Everyone played their role and they had their lane. Do you see what I mean? So
yeah.
But I kind of came in as the money was being raised at the end, and helped with the confidence with the investment, if you like, through the PPC work.
All right. And I was going to say, just to summarise, because it's an amazing history you've got. So basically, you think since 2008, you say your main focus has been on tech, basically sort of online sales.
It's a form of marketing, even with offline businesses like I've got now. I've got businesses that I work with in the area of construction. And so, but that's all based off the back of building these businesses off the back of PPC and conversion optimization.
All right.
So this is where the coming back round to, so I gave you a little bit of the history there. So I've finished there at the ticketing company in 2012 and then run those businesses utilizing and leveraging the marketing aspect and the optimization aspect. And me and my business partner said we wanted to get into an area of products because of scalability. And so obviously there's many routes to go with a product-based company, but generally it needs a quite a large investment, whether that's capital or human investment in terms of staff. And the problem is the technical skills as well. So, you know, you could go and do an app company, but you need developers on board and stuff like that. So it was trying to work out, well, what can we do that's a product that fits the set of skills that you can start as a bootstrap and then build it. You can work out what the touch points are of the framework for the business, and then you can put money in to scale it. Do you see what I mean? So the biggest lesson I learned of going on to online is that you can't do too many things at once,
okay?
And that you do require certain skill sets for certain things to work. And so what I did is I kind of reversed all the fallout of that process and then built it up off the back of, right, so I had a business and I had a team of people, and we're trying to fight for them and resolve a problem. Whenever you run a startup, it's about solving a problem and how fast you get there before your cash runs out.
All right.
Yeah. And so we kind of reversed that and took the lean method of, well, we don't need to set up businesses. What we need to do is set up a page and drive a source of traffic. Does that make sense? So you're really honing in.
Yeah.
And we kind of built it up from there. So coming online, it taught me a lot. And this is why I talk about the 80-20 all the time, because you can spread yourself too thin. And if you lack knowledge in those areas, you're going to get burned. And so what I like now, which will come back round to the 28th of March last year,
yeah,
is with Amazon, it gives you the capacity to play multiple roles as long as you've got some of those skill sets. Now, every Amazon seller I've spoken to, there's been an attraction for some reason. My attraction has been the marketing aspect, the conversion optimization and PPC.
Yeah.
And then I had to do stuff that I'm rubbish at, like sourcing, and get better at it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Listen, I mean, if you've listened to any of the podcasts or my regular listeners will know that I'm always sharing, like one of my latest podcasts was sharing all the mistakes I've made. So yeah, most things that Amazon demands, it becomes increasingly clear I'm not very great at, and I've got better over time. But then on the other hand, it's obvious that a lot of things aren't natural to me and aren't going to be. So that's probably the thing to outsource, which is what I'm one of the next phases for me. But
yeah.
So if I could just summarize, because I mean, amazing history. You've always got a very deep sort of a background with online business and business in general, as you know, the whole business of a startup. What you were, if I understand what you're saying, basically you went from, you got two sort of massive insights. I'm sure you've got tons of insights, but the ones I've got is that you need to have specialized skill sets and focus on those. And then also the speed you can get to market versus how much cash you have is a really crucial
especially if you've got investors, and especially if you've got multiple investors, because you manage all those relationships.
How did all that push you to Amazon?
This is where I was going to elongate everything and tie all up, which I had to give you a bit of backstory. So this is my theory, is that sat down and thought about it, I kind of seen it as joining dots together, if you like. So back then I would sit in the studio, I would engineer my records with co-writers and producers and stuff. I worked a lot in collaboration, whether they engineered, I engineered, they played keys, I done programming. Do you see what I mean? I have a big collaborative approach.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm a big believer in that side of things. But what I was kind of look at is that when you make a record, you've got to kind of find your market for it. You've got the manufacturing, you've got to get the project to market, and you've got to sell it through, and then you do a tour around it, or you would do all your press rounds and stuff like that. So when I now look at a private label, I look at the framework. There's not much difference, yeah? So you're going to source the product, which is your record,
yeah?
You've got to determine whether that record's going to be good or that product's going to be good enough to get it to market. So then you've got to do the whole process where you're honing in on that product. So let's imagine that you've got all your remix parts for your record. And then on the other side, you've got your product, which is all of these bits that have got to go together to make this nice package that people are going to want. And so you've got to concoct that like you would with a record in the studio. Yeah.
Yeah.
Both the record and the product still needs to be marketed. It needs to go into a process of manufacturing. Back then, I was manufacturing records and would export them and work with exporters and with importers. Now, where our marketplace is, we've got Amazon, whereby they are the importers and exporters across all the different territories.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, in a way. So I suppose you're coming from, in a way, a more complicated business model. So Amazon kind of takes care of a lot of parts of the business that before were separate things in your previous business model. Is that right?
Yeah. So I'm trying to get at is that if you run them in parallel, to me, is like I find that the process you go through from, say, making an album is a similar framework to coming up with, like, selecting a product, modifying a product, getting the product to market, and then getting the public acceptance of that product. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so when I look at the framework, it goes back to what skills can you bring to the table. So I think, well, hold on a minute, I I've got a marketing background, so we can look at the SEO, like the on-page SEO, if you like, for the ASIN. Then you've got all your PPC that is related to like your pay-per-click, like AdWords and Bing ads and Facebook ads. There's a lot of similarities there, mm-hmm. of how they operate, and also the importing and the exporting process as well. There's some common ground there. So if for me, it's almost like it was joining the dots. So I've come around 360. So
yeah.
Most people don't get a chance to have a career where they have maybe two or three careers that they enjoy. They normally have one.
Yeah.
And then they, does that make sense?
So they do that, and then they do whatever they need to pay the rent after that normally, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So you have
a lot of musicians, particularly.
You have your enjoyment, your moment, and then it's like, right, you ain't going to get that again, but I've been very, very lucky.
Mm.
I've had ups and downs in my life, but I've been very lucky to kind of see Amazon now, or private labeling, is where I'm most happy. And I think when you're the most happy you can be, then you can excel more so than someone who has to get up and grind every day and go to a job they don't enjoy.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, that is definitely for sure. So let's pull this back. I mean, it's great to have a deep background about your background. Let's pull this into then the main thing about pay-per-click and Amazon ads, but we can broaden it from Amazon ads. But by the way, just a couple of technical tips for people. I will do some thorough show notes for this because there's going to be a lot of technical jargon flying around. But SEO stands for Search Engine Optimization. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
And ASIN, by the way, if you're around Amazon, hopefully you'll know what that is. But that's the Amazon unique kind of product code. That is a bit like a universal product code, like a barcode you get in a supermarket, except it only works within the Amazon marketplace, basically. And pay-per-click is PPC. So that's the main thing we're discussing there. If that's news to you guys, then go and check the blog post out for this episode, which will be www.amazingfba.com/31. So I thought I'd just mention that. Sorry to interrupt, Danny, but
no,
there will be technical terms flying around and people don't always know what on earth they mean. So let's cut to the chase. So with pay-per-click, I mean, first of all, let's start with Amazon ads, because I guess for most of us that's the easy starting point. Why is it important at all? Why do we need to learn about this stuff?
The reason it's important because it's a way of giving you almost instant visibility. So, you know, when you're putting a product onto Amazon, you've got to understand it's got to start somewhere, and you've got no sales history, no conversion history. And so you need to put you need to pop up above everyone else in order for people to see you to start that process. So to give you a quick example, last year I launched onto Amazon in the UK with three products, and they were test products from Alibaba.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal behind it was, I need to throw these products onto Amazon, but what's going to happen when I do that? And what kind of impact does pay-per-click have? And I've done a case study for it, which I can share with the audience later. I won't go into graphic detail, but it showed the correlation between ranking for your keywords organically and via PPC, because the PPC was creating the conversions, which had a knock-on effect to organic ranking. So it gave us the visibility to make sales. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what people tend to do is they get to the stage where they select a product they're really into, they throw it up onto Amazon, and then nothing happens. And it's because they've got no history. So they're going to be at number 650 or wherever they're placed on that keyword, and 330 on that keyword.
Yeah.
So with Amazon ads, as long as you go into the auction and bid at a sensible rate, then that's going to create visibility. So you can start selling straight away. You haven't got a queue, if you like.
Okay, fantastic. So that answers the why. Then I guess the next question is how, which a lot of people seem to make heavy weather of. But I mean, what's the simple way of starting? For somebody who's brand new, let's say I've only just learned what PPC means. I don't know what SEO means. I've got a product. I'm about to get launched on Amazon. I know that the word conversion means that, you know, the percentage of people that come visit your web page and buy over the, you know, number, and that's all I know. What do I do next?
What you do next is, again, like you've just said, people can tend to overcomplicate it. Now, I've been, again, developing different ways of working to save myself time. Let's start with the most common things. When people don't really understand what's going on in terms of the technical breakdown of something, they'll tend to tweak quite a bit and they'll then get lost in it. That's the most common problem for new people approaching it.
So they now, tweak too much and they get lost in their tweaks because they don't know what it means.
To give you a quick example, a lot of people run an auto campaign. After a few days, they'll dump it because they think they're wasting money.
Right.
And then they'll start a manual campaign and add all their own keywords.
Right.
And then they'll tweak it on a daily basis. And then they'll get like in a tiz with it and get lost to understand where they are and wonder why they're not converting.
Right. Okay.
So my thing to people that are new is that when you look at an auto campaign, imagine it in a slightly different way. Imagine that this auto campaign, what it's doing is showing Amazon your listing. And Amazon's going, right, guys, this is what I see about your listing. So I'm going to provide you a load of keywords. And so I call it tuning your listing, yeah,
right.
or validating your listing. So I would run an auto campaign to validate the listing first. And then what you can do is you can take out like really random keywords that are not related whatsoever, and you can add them as a negative keyword, which means that they won't show up again. Yeah.
All right. So could you give us an example of that?
Okay. So let's just say that you were selling black paper. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you had a keyword that come up for white card. Right. Okay. So it's in the neighborhood, but it's completely irrelevant in terms of the focus of that keyword and its intent.
Okay. Yeah? Yeah, so
because
negative.
If you've got black paper and you're searching for black paper, you are not looking for white card. Yeah?
True.
It's the same as having, it's like looking for, doing a search for vitamin B and all you can see is vitamin C. There's no relevance.
Yes.
So what people kind of need to understand also with Amazon is that it's a high converting platform. People go to Amazon with purchase intent. So it's unlike Google. Google search engine is based around arranging the world's information, whereas on Amazon, it's about conversions, it's about sales, it's about someone going there and say, hey, guys, my card details are already in this platform and I've got this one-click checkout. But I need to get there as fast as possible without messing around because I've got a busy day. So I want black paper. Yeah. And so I want to just see black paper because if I don't see black paper, I'm not going to be interested. But I think what happens is people want to widen their net out and think that by having all this, this is going to be good for their branding. But the problem you get is that the more sessions you have and the least amount of conversions you have, it's going to affect your rankings.
Okay, yeah? Can you just explain what sessions are, by the way?
Well, the sessions are when people are coming in to visit the ASIN, yeah, like the product page where your product is.
Okay, so a visit counts as a session, does it? Is that the same thing, more or less?
Yeah, so basically what you're looking at is that people are doing a search on the search engine on Amazon, right?
Yeah.
And so you might have, say, 100 searches per day that comes to your ASIN, right?
Yeah.
But 10 maybe buy. Yeah. So your conversion rate is 10%.
Right.
But let's just say you've got loads of random keywords.
Yeah.
And then you have 1,000 visits a day.
Okay.
And you convert like 10.
Yeah.
Then your conversion rate is going to be very poor.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah?
And so you want keywords that are relevant. So here's the kicker is that you set up an auto campaign, which is very simple. It doesn't require really any skills. You select it, you put in a bid price, and you put in your daily budget.
Yeah.
Okay? And so what the idea is that you'll leave that to run, and then after a few days, you'd run a report.
Okay.
You'd run the report to see what kind of keywords are there. You cut and paste those keywords into Amazon.
Right.
And then you can decide from there whether they're relevant. If they're not relevant, you can add them as a negative exact match.
Add as an negative exact match. You know, I have to confess that I think somebody mentioned this concept of the negative match a long time ago, and I've never got round to doing it. So I'm sure that I'm wasting a huge amount of clicks. I'm already thinking, wow, this call has already been worth it for me. So that, it's funny, isn't it? I mean, all these very technical areas, just to kind of reflect to somebody who's got a, you know, now a certain amount of very Amazon-specific experience, but didn't really have much pay-per-click actual experience. I knew the theory from a lot of marketing seminars and whatever.
Yeah.
It's the question of, it's interesting what you said about, well, people hit a technical area, they don't know what they're doing, they tweak a lot, but they don't know why. When I've sort of been halfway in that, because I've been tweaking certain things, but then I've missed a really important detail. So it feels to me like, the art is to work on details, but only certain details. And I guess that's classic 80-20, right? So what would you say the crucial numbers are, or the crucial words or nuts and bolts that you should know? Like, if I had to limit it to five, if you're starting out, what would you say those are?
The five key thing, what you mean in terms of PPC exclusively?
I mean in terms of Amazon ads specifically, yeah. Let's keep it to Amazon ads for now, to keep it simple.
I mean, because obviously we're jumping around on the conversation. If I give you some like bullets of the process that you could run through.
You could
say, okay, so you could, if you're on a small budget and you've not done PPC before, it can get a bit scary when you start spending money, but generally when you're doing PPC, you've got to find where you've got to go through what I call clean out process. So you're going to spend a few pounds or dollars losing money to find the touch points of like get rid of all the crappy keywords so that you've got a core set of keywords that convert over the long term.
Okay.
Quite often people step away too early. So I might blow £100 on keywords, and you might think that's crazy.
Mm.
But what I've done is I've just filtered out all the rubbish and then focused on the ones that work. And you always get that at the build of any beginning of each campaign. And that's why people jump too quickly. So my key points would be set up an auto campaign. So set your bid. I would start with a low bid, for instance, if you're starting out, so you can stack these auto campaigns and get your own tests. So I'd say £10 daily budget and then do, say, 30 pence, 40 pence a click. Yeah.
Okay.
So what that will do then is that Amazon's going to try and serve you some keywords, right?
Yeah.
And so we call these, like the cheaper ones, long tail.
Yeah.
And so these long tail keywords can end up being a cheaper way of converting. So so you could start out that way, and I would say run that for a week, and then you probably won't spend the tenner a day if you're doing that, because Amazon may not add that many down there, but you might find some golden nuggets in there that can be higher converting at a low cost, because we'll get to the higher cost later.
Yeah.
So 30, 40 pence, £10 a day budget, run it for a week. Bear in mind, roughly, Amazon works about 48, 72 hours behind, so there is a lag. Yeah,
okay.
You're reporting. So then I would run a search term report at the end of the week, take a look at those keywords, have a look inside and see where relevant, what's not relevant,
right.
Take the non-relevant ones and then add them as a exact negative match.
So at this stage then, just to summarise, you've set up an auto campaign, you've run it for a week.
Yeah,
£10 daily budget or 40 pence per click, and presumably these are UK figures, but presumably the same would work in the USA. Then $15.
What I would say is that because every category, every product is different, I'm just giving you a baseline to work with.
Okay,
you might find that in your category, you might have a really competitive product. You might not have anything at 40 pence.
Right,
it might be at 60. So you've got to find your touch point, yeah?
Okay.
So if you're not getting any impressions after 2 or 3 days, then obviously you want to check that. So if I'm speaking to the audience now, when I play things like this, you've got to understand you allow for movement, because you're testing here. Everything I tell you won't come out exactly how you want it to necessarily, but you'll start to see a framework there appear. And it's where you start to adjust according to your product in your category. Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, and also what you're saying, really, you're implying basically you're spending your money up front, not in order to make sales, but in order to find the keywords that work, and in order to also, and which is something that's become clearer to me with this conversation, that you're finding the keywords that don't work. So you make sure you bid on them as negative matches. Right. Okay.
That's right.
So basically you're spending the money to find the keywords. You're not really spending money to make sales.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, well, that's very important.
At this stage, you know, obviously you want to get sales, but at this stage, what you want is for Amazon to understand your listing, and you want them to say, hey, these keywords here, and if they're the right keywords, that means you're tuned in. And so what we need to look at next is on week two, we might need to tune. Let's just say that you're getting loads of unrelated keywords, and then you can look at your title and you can look at your back end keywords. Yeah.
Right.
And then, because they're going to be the two areas where Amazon's obviously looking at in terms of extracting information to determine what keywords to serve on your behalf, right?
Okay, so we're looking at the title, and what did you say, the back-end keywords? Could you
explain a bit more about that? Yeah, the search terms in the back-end, you've got five fields on the back-end when you log in. So what you need is you have your optimized title with your keywords in,
mm-hmm.
normally at the front of the title. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and then on the back end you get five rows, and recently it's been 50 characters per row.
Right.
So that would give you 250 characters overall. However,
mm-hmm.
certain categories they've rolled out to give you 1,000 characters, and I think you can spread it across the. I haven't tested across the five yet, but I know it goes above 100, 200, 300 in field number one. Yeah, on your search mm-hmm. terms. And so another little tip there, if you haven't got that in your category, if you've ever used a flat file, I know it's a little bit more advanced.
Yeah.
They hadn't sewn up the back end. So when I uploaded my most recent product last year, it gave me 100 characters per line. So if you're in a category that hasn't rolled out beyond the 50 characters per line, then that's a little neat trick you could try out.
Okay, I mean, I think that might be a bit technical for most people, but I mean, I did use flat file ages ago, along under the sort of supervision of a mentor to upload for a product. I have to admit that even she's a very experienced Amazon seller and you know, doing very well. But between us,
I can give you some struggles. Bits for the show notes if you like. I've got
that would be great.
Videos and odds that I can give you and some stuff for the audience to download and use.
Yeah, because I mean, when it comes to technical stuff, I mean, you know, you should, this stuff can be, you know, a little bit of a barrier to getting going, I think. So, I mean, by all means, we should have that for the more advanced people or the more adventurous or technologically fluent people. But I think it's also good to have straightforward stuff. So just to reiterate, so I'm sorry to break in, but I'm just trying to think of it from the sort of beginner mindset, which isn't so hard because that's not very far from me. I'm not any genius in this stuff. So in week two, basically, you need to make sure that your listing, if your listing's throwing up a lot of unrelated keywords, then your listing needs changing and you're basically looking at the title and, as you call it, the back end keywords in the five fields. And I think it's the last tab in the edit inventory area of the website, isn't it? I think I seem to remember the one.
Yeah, it's on the back end. So when you click edit, it's one of the tabs. I haven't got it open up in front of me, but it will have you. It's a section where you've got your description and your keywords.
Yeah, I can visualize it. I'm just thinking I might try and do some screenshots for the blog post so that people get more of a precision guide on that. All right. So are the titles?
So we've covered week one. So we know that we're going to let it run. We're going to set our budget, a daily and individual, the campaign level budget. So if it's 40 pence, 50 pence, 60 pence, obviously you need to take your own counsel on that by judging if there's any, you know, if you've got zero impressions, that means you're not entering the auction, if you like. So maybe up your bid. So look, so if we break it down over the stages, you're going to run the campaign for the week. You're looking to capture the data. You get to the end of the week. Let's just say you had a good week. You go and run your search term report. You download that. You look through for keywords that are completely irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
You add them as negative keywords, as a negative exact.
So this is in a new manual campaign.
This is still in your auto campaign.
So you can add negative keywords yourself in an auto campaign.
Yeah. As you click down to go through to keywords through campaign, I haven't got it in front of me, but campaign level into ad group level.
Yeah.
You've got the keyword tab and it'll say run a report, or you know, there's another button that gives you negative keywords. Very straightforward.
We'll
shoot a quick video after for the audience just to show really how simple this is.
Sounds great. Yeah, amazing.
And so once you've got that, we've run for a week, we've downloaded the report, we've got the keywords. If you've got a situation, and I won't rush it straight away, but if you've got a situation where you really are getting irrelevant keywords being shown,
mm-hmm.
refer to your title, because you're learning more about your listing there. You might find, actually, I've put this in the title and it's not relevant, or I've put this as a back-end keyword, it's not relevant.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you manage to do the edits. I'd always say be careful with editing your title, because once you start to build up organically, if you're doing quite well, if you do wholesale changes, mm-hmm. it can have a bit of impact onto your organic positions. But obviously this stuff's early days and it's about not over-tweaking. So
okay.
That's the end of week one. So again, week two, run it the same thing, and hopefully by this time you'll start to see improvements. You'll start to waste less budget because you're repeating this cycle and you're honing in for Amazon to keep focusing on the areas that you want to within that price range on those keywords.
Okay, can I just check, in the second week then, you're still just using an auto campaign, is that right?
Yeah, we're not leaving auto. The methods I'm going to give you, we can talk about manual, but I'm looking to try and present to the audience at this stage you could live in auto, and that would be the plan.
Interesting. So you can keep it as simple as that.
That would be the ideal. It doesn't mean it's going to work every single time, but for instance, I've got a load of European countries that are all in auto, in France, Spain and Italy, and one in the UK for a friend of mine who's a client. All the European ones, the ACoS is less than 15%, and they're all in auto, and they've been in auto since August last year.
Amazing. So ACoS, again, is a technical term, advertising cost of sales, which,
yeah.
Can you just explain that briefly, Danny, for the listeners?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the percentage of spend against your retail price. So, you know, if you're selling for something for £10 and it costs you £1, then that's 10%.
Okay, so it's the advertising cost over the sales price, yeah, of all the stuff that you've got on that keyword, you've sold through that keyword.
Through the keywords within inside of that campaign, of course. It's the overall ACoS.
Cool.
But obviously what people... I don't want to jump around too much, but the people got to remember there is that you've got your product costs as well. So, you know, a 10% ACoS might sound good, but how much is the product cost, you know, to get it to market? So just be careful, things like that. I'll give you guys a spreadsheet as well that you can test your keywords on and punch in your product costs into the spreadsheet, and it'll give you a ranking order of the keywords and whether you know they're good. It might be 70% or 60% or 50%. I won't go into graphic detail. There's a video for that as well that the audience can have.
So you have an awful lot of resources to share with us. That's really
amazing. I've got a few tools and stuff that I use that I've created myself, or I had people help me create, you know. So we've got to week two. We've done week one. We're repeating the similar kind of process. Now what you could look at doing is that at the end of week two is introducing another auto campaign. But this time we do it at a high bid and then we repeat the process.
So this is a brand new campaign. It's not the same campaign with just a higher bid.
That's right. So the theory behind it is that you stack the auto campaigns.
Okay.
Is that the second campaign that you do, instead of doing that at 30, 40 pence, you do that at, say, £1 or £1.20. So you're working in a different price bracket.
All right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you may have some impact on your first campaign where it will drop off or where there's a crossover.
Yeah.
On the second campaign, the idea would be is to capture another bunch of keywords in that area. Now, you may want to bring over your negative keywords from your first campaign.
Yeah.
And put that into your second auto campaign.
Okay.
So the moral of the story is that we're trying to tune the listing. And we're trying to find a way of not tweaking all the time, but guide Amazon's algorithm into checking out for the right keywords and looking to get conversions. Now, other PPC people will turn around and say, well, you need to do a branded campaign. And that's true. All of these different things. But if you're beginning, what I'm trying to do is give you some advice to simplify the whole process.
That sounds very good. Yeah. Simplify is good.
If you can get to manual campaigns later,
okay.
But if you jump from an auto to a manual and you don't know what you're doing, then all you're going to do is waste money.
Yeah, well, I can vouch for that from personal experience. I mean, I'm getting better at wasting less money on ads.
It's a newbie tax.
Yeah, it's a frightening thing because I mean, just to sort of pause from the technical discussion, I mean, this is gold, Danny. Thank you so much. This is fantastic. But just to give our brains a breather from technical stuff, just to give you a flavour, I've added up recently the money I spent within one sort of about one business year for my company, which one my company's year runs from June July to June, because that's when I happened to set it up. But it was something like $10,000 in Amazon advertising spend in the USA alone. And
wow.
And I thought, yeah, have I really got my value for that? And the answer is no, definitely not in a lot of cases. So it's very easy to spend money on Amazon ads. The trouble is once you set it up, it just kind of ticks away. Yeah, so I would say to people this, if you're going to get any expert help before you start something, then after product picking, which is obviously, you know, it's very obvious when $5,000 disappears from your bank account in one go to a Chinese supplier. But the other thing that is less obvious is the advertising spend. It just ticks away and you can just let it run. And there are disaster stories out there. And, you know, I haven't had those, but totally worth going in with your eyes wide open.
Yeah.
So just a personal warning there. Okay, guys, so that's part one of two parts for the interview with Danny McMillan that I'll be publishing the second half of it in the next episode. So the first episode, this one, is episode number 31. So the notes for the episode will be at www.amazingfba.com/31. And I really, really urge you, above all with this area, to read those notes in detail, because there's a lot of detail and some of the details make all the difference, as Danny pointed out. Fantastic stuff. I've certainly learned some golden nuggets. So I would urge you to go back through this interview and listen again and make your own notes, as well as reading the blog notes. Maybe read the blog notes first, the show notes, I should say, and then you know, fill in the gaps yourself if there's other little nuances that you spot when you're listening. Also, don't forget Annie's very, very kind offer that he will do a follow-up episode, a Q&A, so if anyone's got questions about this, that they should ask those in the Facebook group. Bear in mind, some of those may be answered in the next episode, so maybe hold off on that until you get a chance to listen to episode 32. But, you know, write the questions down for yourself on a piece of paper or something. And I'll do some kind of poll. So I'll try and structure things on the Facebook group so that we can structure that, because there will be a lot of questions, I suspect. So I need to be efficient about how we deal with that so that, we don't end up with a mega long episode next time we do the Q&A. But meantime, guys, don't forget, learn. So learn this stuff thoroughly, because this is one of the major parts of your business and it's one of the least understood, from my experience of people giving feedback in the Facebook group. Learn and then do. If you don't implement this stuff, you're not going to make any more money, or in the case of Amazon ads, stop wasting money. And then review. And then, of course, that part and parcel of this process, as Danny's made really clear, that you have to go back over your keywords and remove ones that are actively losing you money and ramp up the ones that are making you money. So as ever, the Holy Trinity, learn, do, review, guys, really, really important. Other than that, get out there and implement this stuff. Give us feedback on the Facebook group. Let me know how things are going. If you're not a member of the Facebook group, you really need to join, because you are missing out. Not because I'm trying to hold things back, but just because the podcast only has so much time and space in it. And that Facebook group, once again, is at www.amazingfba.com/FBF, as in face, B as in book. And the number of people in there is now got up to 193. If you are the 200th person joining us, you will get a £5 Amazon voucher, or the US dollar equivalent, or wherever you are, or euros if you're in Europe. Thank you very much for your time, and look forward to speaking to you in the next podcast.